It's so wonderful to see you today. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's going to be good. Neighbor, I want to listen. I want to hear what pastor's saying. Neighbor, don't talk to me. All right. God's about to do some amazing things in you today. I want to talk to you today about, you know, I said it earlier, you can't have a resurrection without a death. Many of you are right in the middle of a trial. You're right in the middle of a battle. But with that test is going to come a testimony. And with that battle, it's going to become a victory. And so wherever you're at today, I know the Lord is working and He's about to do some amazing things. And so I want you to get what I'm about to share with you today. As we talk about the resurrection, but first we got to deal a little bit with that process. And so today, I want us to look in our Bibles at Matthew chapter number 27. And we're going to read just this one little verse, and then I'm going to go some places. And we're going to look at some things today, and I trust that you will be blessed. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Let me just break it down for you. From 12 o'clock noon until 3 p.m., darkness was upon all the land. Now, last week we talked about the triumphal entry. Jesus had come on the scene. He had gone around and He had chose His disciples. They began to make their way. He began to preach the good news. He began to heal people and raise people. Oh, He raised Lazarus from the dead. That caused a stir. Then He began to say things that they didn't understand and they began to not like it. Oh, they liked it when He was feeding them. They liked it, amen, when He was just being calm and not causing too much stir. But when He began to cause ripples, when He began to go against what their tradition and their rules and regulations, when He began to make them look bad, they began to turn on Him. He was here for a purpose, but they didn't receive that purpose. You see, they should have known it was prophesied. The exact moment, if they had counted the days, if they were really observant and been watching and listening to the prophets, they would have known and been looking that day. But they didn't, and it's why Jesus, looking upon the city, He cried and said, "You've missed the day of your visitation." I'm praying today that you don't miss the day of your visitation. It's today. He's about to visit you in a special way, and you're going to realize and see what He truly did for you, and it'll change your life. As Jesus began to go around and save and heal and deliver, as He began to take people that others discounted, as He began to say to them, "You're forgiven." Oh, it's stirred up. How can you say someone's, only God can forgive sins? But He said, let me tell you, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? And then He touched that man and He picked him up and He did a miracle that day and He showed him He had authority and He had power not only to heal but to forgive. As they begin to connive and scheme and make plans, here Jesus comes in, the greatest festival. As all the people were gathering from all over to celebrate Passover, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling prophecy again. And He came in. He went to the temple and they were changing money. They were selling sacrifices and his heart were broken. And He cleansed the temple and said, "You've made it a den of thieves, but my house is to be a house of prayer." He had Passover with His disciples. He left there and went to the Garden of Gethsemane where He prayed, "Father, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." Then he was betrayed. Then he was taken into custody. And there he was, trial after trial. They were breaking their own rules, their own regulations. Secrecy. All under darkness. You see, the devil likes to operate in darkness. He likes to do things behind the scenes. Oh, but I'm telling you, God's getting ready to shine the light on the darkness and make the darkness known. But here in darkness, they were going around and doing all these things, and they were taking him here and taking him there, and before Pilate and to Herod and back, until finally he said, you know, it's a custom. I can release a prisoner. Do I release Barabbas? Convicted felon, murderer, horrible man. Or Jesus, who has done no wrong. And I said, I find no fault in him. The crowd, that same, some of those same people, as we talked about yesterday, last week, they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And people got all caught up in the crowd. And some were truly there to worship, but others were just there, for the party. And some in the same crowd, as people begin to go around and they begin to say, crucify, say Jesus. And pretty soon the crowd was cheering for Jesus, but not as they were on the Palm Sunday. Amen. Not welcoming him in, but they were screaming, crucify him. That set off a series of events. He's sent to be scourged, tied to a whipping post. Romans were cruel. They had devised some of the cruelest punishment. They had a cat of nine tails, and on each tail was tied rock and bone and glass. 39 times this whip came down across Jesus, across his back, across his legs. It came whipped around his side until his whole body, was marred and flesh ripped from his bones and opened up and bleeding. Most people would have died from the beating alone. But Jesus endured the beating because he said, with my stripes you are healed. He paid the price for your healing today. Every sickness, every disease, every torment, anxiety, fear, depression, that day was defeated with every stripe that Jesus took upon his back. And then they took him and put a big cross beam on him, began to lead him to the hill called Golgotha to be crucified with others. He wasn't the only one. There they laid him down, and they nailed his hands, and they nailed his feet to a cross, and they lifted him up suspended between heaven and earth. And there, he stretched out his arms and showed us how much he loved us. He said, no man takes my life. I give it. I lay it down of my own free will. He died willingly for you. God gave his only son that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. Jesus came. There's a lot of events happened those first 3 hours from 9 till noon. Mockers. Scoffers, they spit upon him, they ridiculed him, they mocked him. The leadership were angry because they put up a sign, King of the Jews, and they went back and said, no, take it down. He said, I've written. There were scoffers and mockers in hell. Was celebrating there. The crowd was going crazy. They had watched these public executions many times before. And there was others there with him. These two thieves, that were there. They were also, railing against him. They were looking and saying, if you're truly the Son of God, come down. You saved others, save yourself. But during that first 3 hours, one of those thieves looked at him. He told the other, don't you fear God? We deserve what we're getting. We did it. We're justly being punished. But this man is innocent. And he looked at Jesus right there while Jesus is dying and bleeding for humanity. Hey, but that man looks at him and says, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today." Everybody shout, "Today." Today, you will be with me in paradise. Oh, that blows a lot of people's theology, because he didn't get to go to church. He didn't get to get baptized. He didn't get time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He just confessed that he was a sinner and he recognized Jesus as Savior. And Jesus said, "Today." Jesus has power to save today. Oh, it was loud around there. Amen. As people mocked and scoffed, as believers, amen, were weeping, as those followers were trembling in fear, looking. They thought he had came to set up his kingdom, and now he's being crucified. Amen. There was so much commotion, so much going on, but all of a sudden, the clock strikes 12 o'clock, and I can just hear God saying, "Enough is enough." Mockery, ridicule, amen. And all of a sudden, the Bible says the sun stopped to shine. Darkness covered all of the earth. It wasn't a natural phenomenon. It wasn't an eclipse. I believe it was the sins of humanity that darkened the sun that day. As Jesus hung upon the cross, taking the reproach, all the sins of humanity begin to come upon Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All of a sudden, the mocking stopped. All of a sudden, people realized something's going on here. It's noon. It's not supposed to be pitch black. Amen. But all of a sudden, darkness, amen, came upon the face of the earth. And the mocking stopped and the scoffing stopped and fear began to come upon the people. And there's 3 hours of silence. You see, Jesus had said 7 things from the cross. His first statement, as people were mocking and spitting and ridiculing and laughing, as the soldiers were gambling over his garment, over he looked at all the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious rulers, as he looked at all of humanity, his first statement was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, if that had been me or you, we'd have been cussing back at them. Come on. We'd have got out of the spirit and got in the flesh. Oh, you say, "Oh, no, not me." You can't even take it when somebody breaks in line at Walmart. You almost lose your religion. But Jesus hanging on a cross, bleeding, amen, for the sins of humanity, and people laughing and mocking and gambling over his clothes, and scribes and Pharisees arguing over the sign above the cross. Jesus looks out and says, "Father, forgive them." I'm telling you, he granted you forgiveness before you even ask. His second statement was to that thief. He said, "Today, you will be with paradise." His third statement, as he looked off the cross while it was still light, he saw his mother, his natural mother, with the disciple John, whom he loved. And he said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold your mother." He made provision. I'm telling you, we'll talk about it at Mother's Day. But listen, we got to take care of mama. You got to take care of mama while mama's around. He had time to say, "Got to make sure mama's okay. all of a sudden, after those three statements, darkness, utter darkness. Darkness that chills the soul. Darkness where you can't see your hand before your face right at noon. And everything stops. What was that darkness? Let's talk about a couple of things this morning. First of all, it was a fulfillment of the prophet Amos. Amos chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. You see, when Jesus was born, great light filled the sky. There was a star that appeared. Amen. And the angels sang, Hosanna in the highest. When he was born, a great light filled the earth. But today, as he is dying, a gross darkness covers the sun so that they can't even see. You see, darkness represents, number one, death. In Matthew, it says the people sat in great darkness, but they saw a great light. You see, the dead abide in spiritual darkness, physical darkness, emotional darkness, spiritual darkness. Satan is the ruler of the darkness. Hate. He said, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. Can I tell you, evil loves darkness. Hell felt right at home. They thought they had won, but can I tell you what Satan thought was his best day? Amen. Turned out to be his worst day. What he thought was a day of celebration was about to become his day of defeat. He felt at home in the darkness as everybody was in silence. Evil was running rampant. Sin was being put upon Jesus. The burden, the pain, the anguish, the heartache of evil deeds. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It says the way of wickedness is darkness, and they know not where they stumble. Darkness is a sign of hell, but the children of the kingdom of darkness shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Jesus is describing what hell is like. It is a place of darkness. Hell that day blocked out the sun, thinking that they had killed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hell, amen, thought they were about to win a great victory. And as the sins of humanity blocked the sun, darkness of evil and hatred and all kind of evil deeds, amen, the sins of all humanity from the beginning, amen, to the present, amen, to the future, amen, was being cast upon Jesus. And he was taking it. In silence for 3 hours. Judgment. When Jesus hung on the cross dying for our sins, that darkness represented the judgment of God upon our sins. The Bible talks about God's salvation as being light, but God's judgment as being darkness. He was showing that by darkness that the cross was a place of judgment, a place of severe, most comprehensive divine judgment on his son Jesus as he was judging the sins of humanity. Silence. We see the flood of Noah's day was judgment upon man's sins. That terrible flood on Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, was judgment for man's sins. The darkness fell on Egypt as a judgment of man's sins. But the darkness that fell on the cross that day was judgment of man's sins by God's own Son. Taking that darkness, taking that judgment, taking that punishment. It should have been you and I. We should have been the ones suffering. We should have to live in darkness. We should be separated from God. But Jesus took that darkness, took that punishment, took that sin, took that pain upon himself that day. Darkness was God's way of saying, I'm judging the sins of the world upon my son. And I'm judging him so I won't have to judge you. Do you hear me? I'm punishing him. I'm taking your punishment and I'm laying it upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for me. I'm judging him so I won't have to judge you. I'm condemning him so I won't have to condemn you. And after 6 hours from 9 all the way now, 3 hours of darkness, as hell is celebrating, as evil is running rampant, as all the sins of the world are coming upon Jesus. He's endured it. He's taken every bit of it. Isaiah said, our sins have separated us from God. But as Jesus bore our sins on the cross that day, as he became dark, as he became black, as he took on sin, so that you and I could be washed whiter than snow, so that you and I could live in the light. We don't have to live in darkness anymore. We don't have to live in depression or anxiety or fear. We don't have to live in confusion. Amen. We can live in the light because he is the light. Can I get a big amen? Thank you, Jesus. That darkness took over that day. 3 hours. What's going on? What is happening? And after 3 hours, all of a sudden, Jesus makes another statement that lets us know a little bit what was going on for the past 3 hours, how he was feeling, what was happening. Because Jesus' next statement, as he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said he was a man acquainted with griefs, covered with sorrow. He was a man that could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Many of you are here today. You've been rejected. You've been abandoned. You've had people turn their back on you. You felt all alone. Can I tell you, Jesus knows how you feel. For those 3 hours, God turned his back to let the darkness of sin come upon his son. Darkness, evil, hell itself. As God cried, Jesus cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? The fifth thing Jesus cried from the cross after he said, why? We give a glimpse of what's been happening those 3 hours. We don't have time to go. There's so much. We don't have time. Oh, but there was a battle going on those 3 hours. God said, I won't hold your sins against you forever. My anger won't last forever. Maybe he turned his back for a moment and allowed that sin and that pain to come upon him. But can I tell you, he didn't turn his back on him forever. He turned back to him once again. Amen. Something's about to happen. Amen. Jesus cried out, I thirst. And they ran and they got a sponge of vinegar. They put it up to him. He tasted it just a little bit. And then he cried out a word. I don't know how exactly to pronounce it. Some of you scholars will. Tete telestai. It is finished. That word tetetelestai, they have found on parchment paper of people's debts with that word stamped on it. They found it in banking records with where people have loaned. And then when they paid the loan off, that word was stamped on it. Tetetelestai, paid in full. Hallelujah. Jesus spent those times, those agonizing hours and those 3 hours of darkness paying for your debt. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and he paid a debt that I... No, let me say that again. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and he paid a debt that he didn't owe. And he paid it for me, and he endured the pain of the cross, and he suffered, and he died. And after he took all the sickness, after he took every stripe for our sickness, after he took every sin upon himself, after he shed his life's blood, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And from the very moment that Adam and Eve sinned, Jesus, they tried to cover themselves in fig leaves. See, that's just like man. That's how man does. They picked the itchiest leave to cover themselves because they're stupid. The only thing worse would have been poison ivy. You can't cover your flesh with fig leaves. You ever pick figs? You get that on your arms, but it itches. And that's how man. That's how we operate. We just do dumb stuff. And Jesus took them, and he took an animal. For the first time, he made a sacrifice, and he showed them how to make clothes and cover their nakedness, because they didn't know they were naked. They were covered in the glory of God. But when that glory was lifted, it revealed their flesh, and now they begin to cover themselves. And they took that sacrifice, and he showed them how to offer it and shed blood for sin. And that's where it started. And they made sacrifices all the way down. Me and Jacob were just talking yesterday on how they've already found there had to be a special cow, red heifer, they had to use. And they have found some that they deem worthy. Now, it doesn't surprise me that they're from Texas. You know. But that's beside the point. So they have the red heifer and a breed that they deem. And now it's been recorded that they've built an altar. And they say now that within a day, they're ready to start offering sacrifices. That could happen at any time. And we know that's going to happen and go right on into the end times. We're seeing things coming to light. But here Jesus cries out after all sin is paid for. And he says, it is finished. Can I just serve notice to the devil today in your life? You're finished. That anxiety is finished. That sickness is finished. That disease is finished. Cancer is finished in Jesus' name. Depression finished. I'm declaring today you are free in Jesus' name. It's finished. Paid in full. Done. And then Jesus made his last statement. Into thine hands I commit my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. He died. And they all live happily ever after. Oh no. Do you know what happened when Jesus took his last breath? When hell had been defeated? When the mockers had been silenced, when the darkness gave way back to light again, when Jesus took it all and paid it all and said, it is finished. And when he breathed his last breath, the Bible says the earth shook and the rocks were broken in half and the mountain was cracked and the graves were opened and many saints rose from the dead. See, usually in earthquakes, people die. But in that earthquake, people came back to life. Jesus wasn't the only one. Don't you know? I mean, and they said they appeared to many in Jerusalem. And can you imagine all of a sudden your family member? I'm telling you, if somebody knocks on my door and I go to the door and it's my mama or daddy, I'm going out the back door. I love them, but they're dead. They weren't expecting to see their loved ones. Oh, but something supernatural happened that day. Oh, because, amen, the day that sin entered the world, amen, God cursed the ground. But can I tell you, that moment that the earth shook, amen, and the rocks were broken, and the earth was cracked, and the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, that was running down the cross and dripping off of his body, amen, when the soldiers came by, amen, because they had to get them off the cross and buried before dark, because then it was the Sabbath. And so they came and they would break their legs. Because see, I told you they were cruel. They would hang them in a way that when they dropped down, it would cut their air off and they would suffocate. But then they would push up on their legs and gasp for breath. But little by little, you lose strength and you can't pick up anymore. And finally, you suffocate if you don't bleed to death first. They were cruel. And they would come by in the afternoon, and if one of the prisoners was still alive, they would break their legs so that they couldn't push up, and then they would suffocate and die. But the Bible says that when they came, Jesus was already dead, and they didn't break his legs, fulfilling the scripture, not a bone would be broken. But the soldier said, I just want to make sure. And the Bible says he took a spear, and he pierced his side. And that went up through his lungs and to his heart. And the Bible says blood and water flowed. Did you know that the blood in your body and the water in your body are not mingled? The only way that blood and water both can come from a heart is if the heart has ruptured and broken. Then the fluid in the body can mix with the blood of the body. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying Jesus died of a broken heart. His heart exploded. He was broken. And when they pierced his side, blood and water flowed. And you know where it flowed? Down the cross. Dripped off of his body and off of his feet and into that crack in that mountain. Amen. And it run down to the very core of earth. Amen. Free in earth of the curse of sin that sin brought on it in the garden. Amen. The ground was no longer cursed. I'm telling you, you're no longer cursed. Amen. Don't receive. Well, hey, it's just how my mama was and my daddy was and how my grandfather was. It's just the curse of our family. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not cursed. I'm free from the curse because the blood of Jesus was shed and went down to the cracks of my ground, and I am free. The curse of sin and death is broken because of the blood of Jesus. And that same blood. Now they laid him in a tomb, and for 3 days, there's some of you that are still living in those 3 days. Because during those 3 days, some of the disciples were in fear. Some of them hid. Some of them went back to their old life. They said, we're just going to go fishing. It's all we know. We don't know what's any future for us. We're just going to go back. Some of you have stopped living because of sin. You've stopped living because of fear and depression, because of something that has happened to you. You're still living in that darkness. You've never experienced his glorious light. You think he's still in the tomb. He was there, and as far as they knew, it was over. It was finished. They went back. They were living in darkness. They were living in fear. Amen. They didn't know what to do, but they didn't know that something supernatural was happening. Amen. Because his body was laying there. Oh, but his soul and spirit descended into the very hell that brought the darkness. And he said, I'm here to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hell was stripped of his authority. He took authority over the devil. He broke the chains that hold us captive. And on resurrection morning, and the first day of the week, they came after the Passover, after the Sabbath was over, and they were talking amongst themselves and saying, who is going to roll the stone away? But when they got there, they found the stone was already rolled away. And there was an angel, amen, sitting on the rock. And he said, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He said, go tell the disciples. We know the story. Mary is there. She's weeping. She's crying. She said, she thought she saw the gardener. Where have you laid him? Please tell me so I can go and put these spices that we've prepared. And Jesus said, Mary. And when he called her name, her eyes, she knew who he was. Today, Jesus wants to call your name. He wants to bring you out of that darkness. They told the disciples, oh, many of them came. Many of them believed. But Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Some of you are in that crowd. I've got to touch the nail prints. I've got to put my hand on his side. And they were all in a room, and all of a sudden Jesus just appeared to them. And he said, Thomas, here you go. Go ahead and touch me. Feel it. Feel it. And oh, he fell down and said, oh, Lord God. Oh, I'm not where I have mercy on me. I'm telling you, if you need to see, he'll show you. God's a big God. He can overcome your questions and your doubts and your fears because he's alive and well. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is sitting on the throne most high. And he is coming again. The mountain shook. The rocks shook. The dead come out of the graves. But one of the greatest things that happened, they were all great. But see, from the very beginning, when God said, I want to dwell among men, they built a tabernacle. And they had the outer court where everyone could come and worship. They had the inner court where only the priests could go. But then they had the holies of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the cherubims that covered the mercy seat dwelt. And only once a year could the high priest go in and took the blood from the sacrifice and would sprinkle it upon the altar for the sins of the people. And when Jesus died and the earth shook and the mountains quake and the rocks cracked and rent, the Bible says that that veil, which was about 60 feet wide and 30 feet high. They say it took some 300 priests, amen, to assemble it and put it together. It was about 2 inches thick. And the Bible says it was ripped in half. Not from the bottom. Not from man to God. But it was ripped from the top, from God, down to the bottom to mankind. And it was opened up. And made a way so you and I, he said, now can come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to have a priest. We don't have to have somebody come for us. Amen. You can come, amen, into the very throne room of God. You can come to the mercy seat and you can cry out for his precious blood, amen, to atone for your sins. And though our sins were as scarlet, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. It was havoc all around for those days. And then Jesus began to appear. He rose from the dead. He appeared to many. He gathered his disciples. He gave them the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And then the Bible says he was taken up. And they stood there with their mouths open wide, gaping and in astonishment and awe. And the angel appeared to them and said, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that has gone away is coming again in like manner. He's coming back. He's coming back after a church is watching and waiting. I don't know when. I don't think it's going to be on April the 8th. We're about to have another total eclipse. See, this was a supernatural eclipse. It wasn't a natural phenomenon. In 2017, we had an eclipse that went across the nation this way. On April the 8th, we're going to have another one. It's going to cross this way. It's going to cross and darken 8 cities called Nineveh. Do you think maybe God's saying it's time to repent? That symbol creates a tav, which is a symbol for God. I have friends and I have people that believe there's absolutely nothing to it. It's just going to be dark a few minutes and everything's fine. I have other people that think it's the end of the world. I'm just somewhere in the middle. I think it's significant. Guess what? I'm going to watch it. I got my glasses. Don't look at it with a naked eye. It'll burn your eyeballs. Watch it. It's something in our lifetime we may not see again. I don't know when they're saying the next one will be a total eclipse. Here in our area, I think it's going to be dark about 3 minutes, right in the middle of the day. Guess what? I'm not going to wait till that day to repent and get right with God. I'm right today. I get right, I stay right every day. But you know what? I think God's trying to say something. Let's just begin to say, Lord, what are you saying? I'm ready whenever you come. And I'm going to tell my friends and neighbors about you every day. And I'm going to witness, amen, to unbelievers. And I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And when you come, I'm ready. Now, when these things happen, it does cause natural craziness. Y'all remember 2017? 4 days later? That was the hurricane that hit Galveston and Houston. Something happens when all that happens. It causes a pull on there. I'm not saying anything's happening. I just know thousands of people are coming to East Texas to check it out. And you know what? When you come in contact with one of them, say, hey, I remember another day it went dark. That was the day Jesus died for your sins. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? That's a good opportunity to witness. Amen? We may be witnessing a natural phenomenon. It could be something else. I don't know. I just encourage you to be ready every moment of every day. And say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Today, are you still living in that darkness? Is your life, do you feel like you're in those moments of agony, of pain? When people have forsaken you, families forsaken you. Maybe you feel like even God has forsaken you. But can I tell you today, he's not forsaken you. He's there. He's right here for you. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye. He knows about what's going on in your life. He cares about your needs. He cares about your pain and your hurts. And today, he wants to be your personal Savior. Oh, he came to die for the sins of the world. And he came to die for you personally. Every generation, every person, to as many as called upon the name of the Lord, gave you power to become the sons of God. Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God today? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? Have you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Does the risen Savior live within you? Do you walk in his power? Do you walk in the light? Because I'm telling you, when he came back to life, the light that shone out of there, amen, it was glorious. I'm telling you, there's no more darkness in him. There's no more darkness today. Amen. Sin and death and hell cannot darken the sun, the S-O-N. Amen. You can live in light today. You feel like, Pastor, I got that darkness has covered me emotionally, physically, financially. My family, I just feel that darkness of sin and death, but today I want to experience resurrection life. Today, if you're here, if you're watching online, you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You just came to an Easter service. You just come to let your kids hunt some Easter eggs. But you are here by divine appointment because Jesus loves you and he has redeemed your life and he wants to forgive you of your sins and he wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. You say, Pastor, I want that confidence. I want that assurity. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. I want to pray with you. I want you to leave this building today knowing that you're a child of God. I don't want you living under that darkness of sin. I want you to be free to live in the light. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, but it's not a prayer. It's not a formula. It's not a words. It's the sincerity of your heart. It's when you realize and admit that you've sinned, that you are a sinner, and that you need a Savior. And you accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus gave on the cross. He died and He rose again for you. And today, if the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you would be saved. So if you believe that, if you want to confess that, if you're in this building or you're watching online, would you pray with me? Everyone pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for enduring the beating, the pain, the darkness. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself. Thank you for taking my punishment upon yourself. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, but you rose again. Jesus, I accept your gift of salvation. Wash me in your precious blood. Cleanse me from sin. Every failure, every mistake, every word, every attitude, every thought, forgive me. Deliver me from every addiction, every habit that has held me bound. Today, I am free. I receive Jesus, and I confess I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can I get a big hand clap of praise? Where's my altar workers? Yeah. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer for the first time. Pastor, I just prayed that prayer and rededicated my life to the Lord. Pastor, I need someone to come in agreement with me about my health, about my finances, about my children. Pastor, I just need special prayer. We're just going to take a few moments. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or rededicated your life, they have a little book they want to give you on what's next. If you're dealing with habits and addictions, they've got a book they want to give you on 40 days of freedom so that you can be set free. If you have any need in here today, we're going to worship for just a moment. You're free to come and have one of these altar workers pray with you. And then we're going to give you a report of what God has done. And then we're going to go hunt some eggs and have fun. And then you're going to have a blessed day with your family. But can I tell you today, heaven is rejoicing over those that came to Christ today. Can I get a big amen? Hallelujah. Just worship for a moment. If you would like special prayer, come. Yeah. thank you today, Lord, for what you have done in this house. I thank you, Lord, today for what you've done in their house. Every home, every car, every hospital room, every prison cell. Today, the resurrected Savior has shattered the darkness of sin, and the light of his love is shone through. And today, I'm not the same as I was when I came in here. I'm not depressed. I'm not filled with anxiety and fear. But today, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The light of Jesus Christ shines and shatters the darkness in my life. I'm free. Somebody shout with me today, I'm free. I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm saved in Jesus' name. Thank you. Oh, come on, just say thank you. Take a moment and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in my life, in my family, in my home. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you, Jesus. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Oh, come on, somebody give Jesus a big hand clap.